Before we begin this episode, I want to give a big shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, especially to Evelyn Preciado and Cassandra Tapia, and a very special shout out to Perla. All of you patrons really keep this podcast going. Even as little as a dollar, like, really helps us keep creating episodes. And it gets you like little rewards. Like, a dollar gets you like some archive posts. $5 gets you video episodes of all the new episodes. $10 gets you a bonus episode. Our last bonus episode was last week, and we talked all about what music we're currently listening to. And then after that, you get shout outs for the different tiers. So if you want to help support this podcast, visit the link in the description. That's patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Let's start the show. Let's do it live. Hola, hola. I am Ruben, coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
And this is Cassandra coming to you from El Paso, Texas.
And this week's recession indicator is that Disneyland is removing all the villains from their lineup. So you can no longer just go to Disneyland and like walk in and, meet the Evil Queen or whatever. Like, now you have to strictly wait till Halloween, like, era. And this is recession indicator because they're trying to get the most money for shit so that everybody like flocks Disneyland during the Halloween season so that they can finally see their favorite villain. So, marketing ploy, and B, like, a little homophobic because, like, all the iconic Disney villains, for better or worse, are queer coded. We're talking about like Scar, Ursula, the Evil Queen, even Gaston, the villain from, Princess and the Frog, whose name I forget, like Doctor something or another. All these motherfuckers.
Jafar. I don't know if you said Jafar.
Jafar,
Scar.
of course. Jafar,
Scar.
yes. All these motherfuckers gay. So like you're deleting gay representation. And like, mind you, sure, it was like not great that they were all queer coded. But it's all the representation we had for a very long time. Like, Ursula was straight up based on Divine, a drag queen. Jafar is a very effeminate brown man. Scar is supposed to be jealous of like Mufasa's masculinity or whatever. That's some rep gone and already dwindling rep time. Like, Disney won't even like in their latest cartoon, Elio, they like that kid was originally supposed to be a little more effeminate, and they like toned him down to make him look more like a boy, quote unquote, because like audiences were like, this character's a little too gay. So recession indicator that Disney, doesn't let the gays partake in Disney shit. Even though, like, I know so many goddamn Disney gays. Like, are you a Disney gay, or do you know Disney gays?
I do not wish to know them.
Oh yeah,
I don't
'cause
know a lot of Disney people.
really? Well, I guess it's a California thing. Like,
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. There was like some TikTok that came up or some reel, and it was like, well, what do they call themselves? Like
Disney adults.
Disney adults, I guess. And this lady, I don't know where she was from, but like she convinced her husband to like m for them to move to near to be near fucking Disneyland. That was like her life. She just took her kids there every day. And
I
I'm just
know.
like, what is happening?
I
Like that's
know.
wild to me.
Yeah. I know some gay people who be doing that shit. It's all that, like, what's that
Like I've
called?
gone to Disneyland once in my entire life. I know I was like in first grade.
I
And that's
probably
because my grandmother took me. And
gone
I've
a
never
couple
been
times.
there again, so it just seems very expensive.
It is. As a kid, the only time we would go to Disneyland is when my mom would win like passes on the radio. Other than that, like, yeah, it was like wishful thinking to go. And it was we used to go back in the day when like you had to sneak in like your food. So we used to take like a hielera full of tortas and shit and like stuff them in a locker. There is no space for But I wouldn't, people are like, oh, I love the fucking turkey legs or whatever. And I'm like, I couldn't even dream of a fucking turkey leg or any shit like that. Like that was not on the menu. But I know folks who go very, very often who that is their life. And when you're, when you have no kids and you're just double income gay, I guess that's where sometimes your money goes.
Yep.
But in other news, the East Wing of the White House has not been demolished, and soon we're going to get a ballroom there. The estimated costs, of the renovation is close to 300 million, which can you imagine? And by the way, this money is coming out of your taxes, people. Like, it's not like Trump magically has 30 million that appeared out of nowhere. Like, this is money that is coming from your goddamn taxes.
But all his supporters are just worried about. So, like, officially today, what's today? Today's not the first, is it? No. It's the first Monday though. So they had, we've been talking about like SNAP funding and people not being able to obviously get SNAP benefits this month. And then today they said that they were going to fund it, but only half. So obviously, like if you're someone who gets $200, then you're only going to get half of that. And that's just like obviously for this month. Like we don't know how long this shutdown is going to last or what's going to happen in December, what's going to happen, that's just for this month. But I mean, obviously, I've seen a lot of people, sharing a lot of resources. Obviously, like good, obviously, right? Like food banks and like locally, I know there's restaurants, right, in our local areas and like cities that are stepping up and offering free food to children, schools, like Food Not Bombs here, but it's also, I don't know. I feel like we, I don't know. I feel like there should be more. I want to say there should be more outrage, but it's also like I've seen so many comments, and not surprising, but like from terrible people, Trump supporters, Republicans, who are just like, oh well, like you should just get a job, or Democrats are the only ones worried about SNAP because Republicans have jobs. And it's like, the thing is, like, I don't know. I feel like people constantly always talking about people who need SNAP or like housing or any kind of government assistance has like kind of brought us here. Like the people who like, I know we've talked
Oof.
about this earlier, who are like, people on SNAP shouldn't be able to buy candy. They shouldn't be able to
Oh
buy
my
this. They shouldn't be able
God.
to buy that. They should get drug tested. Like, very, I don't know. It's like you're not better than someone else because you don't need government assistance. And another thing is like I've had like SNAP throughout the years, like on and off, like different times, whatever. Recently, they say that I make too much, which it's like laughable because I don't make shit. But I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. But you cannot get SNAP unless you have a job. Like this whole thing of like, oh, like people are just like they are lazy and they don't want, you know what I mean? Like they don't want to work. Like you need to have a job. They make you go to work trainings. A lot of the times I was cut off because like I was in school and they wanted me to do a work training and I was like, I can't go to this training, like I'm at school, or like I already have a job, and then they would cut me off, and then I would have to wait months to like reapply. And then if you have a job, like they still, or like if you're unemployed, they make you submit applications. Like they want to see that you're actively looking for a job. So like people that are like obviously you've never had to go through any of these this process, which is like very dehumanizing. I think anyone that's ever been on government assistance is like, it's not fucking fun. It's not like, it's like some easy thing that just happens. Like, you have to meet all these requirements. You have to do all these things. You have to submit so much paperwork. And if you miss it, it's like phone calls, emails. You have to go down to the office and waste all your time. You know what I mean? It's like, and then the people there are just like the worst people that are judging you also for being there. And it's not like some fun thing. It's very, even like when you use your SNAP, like your SNAP card, right? Like your food stamps card anywhere, like people are just judging you. Like it's like this constant thing. Like no one wants, you know what I mean? It's like some, it's not some fun thing. Even if it was, it's like who the fuck cares? Because like our taxes funding government assistance is so low compared to how much money we're sending, you know, to Israel, to the military industrial complex, to cops. So it's like, why? I just like, why do you care if like a little bit of your tax money is going to feed people? Like, and also from everyone who, again, like going back to like children when it's convenient, right? Because like that's like the Republicans are all about saving the children and like pro-life, pro-life, but also right now with like parental, quote unquote, parental rights and like saving the children from all this stuff. But like you don't, but like you're mad that like we have to feed them. Like what? And even if like it's just, oh my God, I can't. I don't understand how people are like are upset with the thought of like having to feed other people, and it's, or that other people should have the right to eat food. Like, why is that? I don't know. And I know that's always been a thing, but I guess just seeing a lot of it online because Trump supporters are going to back up everything he does. So, like, now it's, you know, before I think when the shutdown was happening, I saw a lot of comments from Trump supporters that were like, I don't know, like they're kind of just always going with whatever is convenient. Like right now, it's like, oh, well, you should get a job. Oh, well, you shouldn't depend. Like the government shouldn't feed you. And if you can't feed your children, then you shouldn't have children. And then it goes down this, you know, but it all starts with like the way we talk about poor people. Because, like, yeah, it's Republicans, obviously, but there's a lot of things that I think leftists also have these ideas or like, I don't know. It's just, it's like whack. It's whack.
Yeah, like
It's whack to like read an article that's like, oh, these families or like this amount of children are on SNAP and like they're not gonna have food. And people are like, oh, well, that sucks. Like, what? Like, I don't know.
we got here because the government thought that it was okay to target poor people, essentially.
Yeah, and that like that's the goal. I feel like I said like it's like we don't know how long this government shutdown is going to be, and it's like all of these things are connected, like mass layoffs, cutting all these programs, government assistance, the attacks on like homeless people, and like it's like all connected. Like I don't know. Someone's like, what's like the end goal? And someone had like, it was like this tweet that was like, well, obviously people are going to be, you know, when people are hungry, when people don't have housing, but also when they're like hungry, it's like we're going to see crime rates, higher crime rates. And it's like, then what's going to happen? Then these people are going to be criminalized and then they're going to be incarcerated. And then it's like free labor. And that's like always the goal.
Yeah.
That's like always like the end goal. And it really does remind me like of Octavia Butler. Like everything that she wrote is like happening and it's terrifying. It's
Yeah.
truly terrifying. It's so terrifying.
I mean, yeah, that is something that I think we should be more aware of is that like this is not like a accident, right? Like they know that they're taking these essential resources from people. So, like, what do you do when you literally cannot, despite your best efforts to follow the law, to get a job, to buy things legally, you still can't afford basic needs. Unfortunately, the next step is to steal or to do crime to get those things. And that's what they're banking on. Because, we have all these corporations with ties to the prison industrial complex and for-profit prisons, meaning prisons that make a profit off of the amount of inmates they get because they use them for essentially slave labor, making something like a nickel an hour or something more dramatic at times. Think about like your firefighters, in particularly in California, a lot of them specifically for like dangerous areas, like wildfires. A lot of them are from prisons, and instead of paying firefighter salaries, they pay all these inmates to risk their lives, like the bottom dollar, like the least amount possible, in order to gut government funding, such a like that would go to firefighters. And also to, and thus to put that money into the wallets of corporations. So it's not only tied to this mass imprisonment campaign, what I'm calling it, is not only the SNAP benefit cut off is not only tied to that, it's also tied to the ICE raids. When you have all these people perpetually in prison without due process, you're creating labor camps, e either domestically or internationally, right? We have to think about, how, Germany sh shift people off to Auschwitz to create, to basically work as slaves. Same thing is happening here. Same thing has been happening here. In Ava DuVernay's like documentary, The 13th. She puts some companies on blast, like that create cafeteria food, that create underwear. At times, McDonald's was even using slave labor through hiring inmates. All this shit is to make these corporations richer, which is why, like, lately I've been thinking about, like, oh, if everybody's in jail or nobody can afford things, like, what's the point? Like, how is the economy is supposed to grow. Who does this benefit? And it benefits people who are on the who benefit from slave labor. Who are corporations? Who are the Elon Musk, the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Jeff Bezos, and so on? And so as we look at this cutoff of SNAP benefits, even if we're t you're talking to the most selfish person in your the most self-centered person in your circles talking about how like people don't deserve food, open their eyes to this part. Open their eyes to like, okay, what happens when people don't get basic benefits, don't get basic resources, even despite working 40 hours a week? Like, what do we expect people to do then, other than commit crimes to for basic human needs? Which reminds me, if you see people stealing, no, you didn't.
I mean, always, but
Yeah.
especially now. Don't be a little snitch, obviously.
I mean, don't go into like mom and pops and like steal their handcraft goods or whatever the fuck. But like, bitch, if I'm at Walmart, girl, I don't see nothing. I don't say nothing. Yeah.
What else has been kind of going on?
Well, going along with like, Republicans like gutting SNAP and Democrats not doing shit. The election for New York City mayor is ongoing. November 4th is the last day to vote at 9 p.m. So New Yorkers, get out and do the thing. We're all pulling for Zoran to take this. And even the Democratic establishment is afraid of him. There have been very few like high-profile endorsements of him, other than like Bernie and AOC, who supported him in the last few weeks once they saw that his win is pretty secure or pretty likely. But I can't imagine that even if he were to win, that like Trump and other folks are not going to give him shit or try to sabotage his time as mayor.
So that's tomorrow.
Yeah, and I was like, I knew what like a historic, moment or whatever this was for folks, but I didn't realize like the extent to which like the amount of molding that Zoran had to, take over in order to even be in the public eye as like a Muslim man. There was an SNL sketch recently where Rami Youssef plays him and talks about how much smiling he needs to do in order to make people comfortable with like a Muslim man in the public eye. And that's why that's like not something that I really considered at all, but it's true. Like he has to appear non-threatening to racist America in order to just be in the public eye. Mind you, he's like having to do all this. Meanwhile, like Andrew Cuomo still has like a dozen or so like sexual assault cases against him.
Yeah, I've seen some of the debates come up. Oh, they're so funny.
What's the third guy in the race called?
Oh yeah, there's another guy. Sin? Something with an S. No?
Yes. Is it like Eric Siwa? No, not Eric. Siwa.
Yeah.
Sliwa. He is just such a joke of a candidate that people are like, don't just let this guy run every election just so he can make a fool of himself on the national stage. Yeah, I've seen Mandami Zora Mandami also make like the rounds with comedians to try to like get Gen Z excited about voting, and an important stat came up that like for the first time or second time in history all the top three voting groups for the primary have been under 30, which means not even us millennials have been making a dent.
Well, can you blame us?
I feel, I don't know. I feel like I'm fighting, disillusionment. Every day is a battle to fight that for me.
I know. I agree this whole year, but yes, it's hard, but I'm like, you gotta come
Yeah.
back. There has to be hope. It's hard, but.
Yes, somebody recently talked about like how they understand like Gen X, like I don't even know what to call it, but they had this like I don't give a fuck about anything attitude, and they were heavily criticized for that during their time, but they understand it now. And also, but on the same side of that token, like things were never better. Like when we look at even the 80s, for example, people are like, oh, I love music from the 80s or the 90s. Like you're looking at it not only through rose-colored eyes, glasses, rose-colored glasses, but also through like, I don't know, for better, for lack of a better term, like kind of like, historical natural selection or something. Like when we talk about like the culture or the music or the state of being from 80s and 90s and so on, like we're talking about the things that survived. Like there's so the things that didn't serve a greater purpose, like didn't survive, and so we don't remember all the bad things like culture-wise. It's, I mean, other than like Reaganism or whatever, which we're still living through, but yeah. So I'm trying to think of the now as something that is enjoyable to whatever degree possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
What has been enjoyable? I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
what has been enjoyable?
Well,
Oof. I
before we
guess,
get there, I
yeah.
like, yeah, sorry, I kind of
To the
jumped
last
on.
question. But before we get there, yeah, what did you want to cover before we get there?
I don't have anything. I
I
think
want
next
to.
week we'll have, because of like the midterms and everything happening this week, but
Oh, yeah, the California, look out for the special election so we can do the gerrymandering the way the Republicans be doing, but we do a liberal gerrymandering. This is as close as we're going to get to a liberal January 6th, so time to wake it up, folks. Yeah. And before I forget, also, in things that have not been bringing me joy is fucking Bernie Sanders saying that like Trump is, you know, securing the border more than it's been secured in the past.
he said this a few months ago, and
Did
like
he?
I don't
It
think a
just
lot
made.
of people take,
Yeah.
so he said
Oh, he just. I think it just made the. I think it
it
just made the rounds.
yeah, or like he said it because he said this a few like at the beginning of the year, honestly. But
Shit.
like I always say, Bernie Sanders, like
Nada que ver.
knocker, hose her ass, like I've been calling him all these years. But that's liberals for you.
That's the most leftist motherfucker supposedly we have, but he's out
Right?
here praising Trump's border wall and shit.
A
Lord.
Zionist praising the border wall. Like,
What's
please.
new?
The worst.
But what has made you less bitter? What has given you hope?
Like, what has given me hope? Well, 2 weeks ago, I went to Phoenix with my best friend on a little trip, and that revived me because I was having a really hard time that week. So, yeah, that helped. Also, I don't know. It's like it's the end of the year. Like these 2 months are gonna fly by. My favorite time of the year. It's like, who the fuck cares what we're doing? What are we doing? Who cares?
Yeah,
That's the
this
end of the
is.
year. Make mistakes, do whatever, waste your money. I don't know. It's my birthday month. Sagittarius season is coming up, and then it's the end of the year. So,
We're entering the weekend of the year, essentially.
yeah, exactly. So I'm it's like I'm excited for it because I like how fast everything moves. And like I said, it's kind of just like you're busy and you don't have time. Like, I like that. It's the holidays, whatever. It's getting cold, like all of that. And then at the same time, I'm like terrified of like winter depression. I'm terrified of the winter at the same time because, yeah, like those are like the worst depressive episodes for me.
Oh,
For a lot of people, but
yeah.
obviously, you know what I mean? And so, like, that scares me. But I'm trying to be optimistic. Like, I don't know, prepared, I guess, more than optimistic, prepared mentally, preparing myself mentally.
Yeah, there's like no sun already in Portland, so not
Yeah.
super looking forward to that
Yeah.
for another 6 months.
Yeah. Here we go. Buckle up.
Oof. But what has given me hope recently, or what's made me less bitter?
Well, how was your Halloween? Did you do anything?
Yeah, I like honestly was like so low effort this year just because like my friends couldn't get it together about like what are we doing? So I like made a costume last minute. I was gonna go like as Alice in Wonderland in like the house, like breaking out of the house, but then I made the big house model and it was just so gigantic that it was not very reasonable for me to be out in public with it. So didn't really wear it too often. And other than that, I so that was fun. And you know, like also enjoying the little things. Like there's been very many moments in the last, you know, few weeks where I've just been like, oh my God, this is my life. Like there was once a time when like I couldn't imagine this simple like living that I've experienced, and just appreciating small things like being around friends who I get to see every day, essentially. So having community, that's really given me hope. That's not something that I had regularly, you know, after 2016, 2017. Like, you know, there was a time when I couldn't go to a party without being like feeling guilty for having fun, and always feeling like I had to do work. Like I had to be like, you know, always had to talk politics at parties. And I actually had to go to therapy for that and had to learn how to do basic shit. So my therapist, I remember one of the biggest prompts that came out of my first few rounds of therapy was like, all right, this next week, like you're not like don't even if you hang out with people that you've organized with, like go do something basic. Go to the mall, go to the grocery store. Don't talk about like these things. Just enjoy like a day, a simple day. And like that helped like recalibrate like this internal like alarm system that always told me like everything was on fire. Like yes, things are on fire, but things will always be on fire, you know what I mean? And like me killing myself over not constantly doing something is not gonna turn off the fire. Like you have to keep yourself alive long enough to turn off those fires.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring this up because I actually talked about this a little bit similarly with my therapist. Because I guess like 2 weeks ago, I don't get too personal, but I was, having a hard week and, was crushing out. And a lot of it revolved, around motherhood and my son. And with the attacks right now on autistic people, especially autistic children, I've seen so many stories of like autistic children either being kidnapped by the IDF, by ICE, being killed due to negligence from school systems, like just so many stories that have and do weigh on me a lot. They're very traumatic. And so my therapist was like, well, why do you feel like you need to watch these stories, like these videos, or I don't know, engage with them or share them or obsess, like I don't know if obsess is the right word. And in the moment I'm like, this is like a weird question, because like how, obviously I'm very like this podcast, and I'm very vocal with talking about politics and all these things online, obviously. But I guess to make this short, it's like, yeah, like sometimes I need to disconnect, and it's not, and like that's okay. I guess also because I'm always like, I need to be up to date with everything that's happening, and I need to share this, and I need to read about this, and I need to watch this, and I, you know what I mean? And like, yes, but also like sometimes it's okay to not engage, and especially if it's like affecting you. And I also don't want this to, go into this thing that white people do a lot that's like, this is too much for me, so I'm just gonna disconnect and like, I don't care. I'm not saying that at all, but there's like a balance there, I guess. I should stay in like I shouldn't yeah, like I need to know like when to kind of take a step back from
Yeah.
that, you know, because it's like it's also like affecting me and us and in many ways, you know what I mean? Even like reading everything that's happening, seeing these videos of people being abducted by ICE, seeing so much violence, reading all the, like, you know what I mean? Like it's a lot.
Yeah.
And like that's okay to say that it's a lot, and like you don't always have to be like engaged and like tuned in 24/7, and that doesn't make you know, like this terrible person who doesn't care.
Yeah, like we're not saying like tune it out entirely, but we are saying like, you know, sometimes you need to balance like the weight of the world with being a human.
Yeah, it's like we're living through these like very terrible times. And then that's just kind of under this like fascist regime, I guess that's happening right now. But and then like on top of that, it's like we're all dealing with our own personal grief or depression or loneliness or heartbreak or whatever is like happening in our life. And like it's a lot. It's a lot. But we do have each other always, you know, and like that's why it's important, obviously, to build community, and community will save us. That and guns, as I say. Yeah.
Yeah, and with that,
We'll see you next
I'll see you
week.
next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
All right, special shout out before we go to Fernando Peña, Selena Portera, Miranda E, Magdalena Saucedo, Ronnie Leiva, Bianca Garcia, and all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Join the, you know, I don't know what we call our followers, but join the gang, join the girl gang. All right, y'all.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool.